This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Once again, it's our weekly Q&A with Layla, and we're answering your questions. A reminder, radio program at AOL.com is a destination for questions. You can also click on our homepage at drhoffman.com, and a little rectangle will appear on the right side, and it'll prompt you to record a question. And we use those questions for our weekly radio broadcasts that we hope you listen to. Saturdays from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And then you can call the show as well, live, 877-726-8255. We welcome your calls during the show. So, Layla, what's your next question?
We have, from Nora, a concerned grandmother, writes, "Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla, my 19-year-old...
That's a real Irish name, Nora.
Nora, yeah.
Right.
My 19-year-old granddaughter was away at university for 1 week when she came down with kidney stones and a severe kidney infection and cystitis. Wow. She's still not completely over it. Her parents took her to Johns Hopkins, and they have her on a low dose of Bactrim.
Okay, an antibiotic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She drinks a lot of water and has become a vegetarian in the hopes that it will help. Do you have any suggestions?"
So that's really a misguided approach to kidney stones. For this reason, is that the vast majority of kidney stones are what are called oxalate stones.
Yes.
And you as a nutritionist recognize that animal protein has virtually no oxalates.
Yeah.
But what are the foods that are particularly rich in oxalates? I know rhubarb, carrots, rhubarb, what else?
Carrots, spinach, avocado. There's a such thing as too many berries, like blueberries, unfortunately, because of the oxalate content.
And some people are stone formers. There's a genetic susceptibility. There also seems to be a gut-mediated effect that certain bacteria in the gut may predispose people to renal stones.
It's called Oxalobacter formigenes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Man. There are certain probiotics, actually the most popular ones, the Lactobacillus species, the Bifidobacterium species. Mm-hmm. We need all of those, like coconut kefir and maybe some probiotic foods like sauerkraut or kimchi or lactic acid fermented pickles, like Bubby's Pickles is a particular favorite, to inoculate the gut with those particular probiotics so that your gut can deal with the oxalate and metabolize it properly so that you don't form the stones. Mm-hmm. Very, very important. So when they say good health begins in the gut, they weren't kidding.
So, you know, let's look at the circumstances of this young person. She's a college student, I presume, 19.
Yeah, 19.
You know, one of the accoutrements of college life these days is a lot of alcohol. So the question is it bad to drink alcohol with kidney stones? And I'm not I'm not accusing her of binge drinking, but I'm just saying, you know, without having her to gather a history from, that would be an area of interest, is what is her intake of alcohol? And alcohol causes dehydration. We know that.
Yes.
It actually turns out, I mean, one scenario that I've seen, common scenario for young people getting kidney stones, is on a hot day, drinking a lot of beer.
Ooh.
On a hot day. And what'll happen is the net effect is dehydration, not hydration. You know, it's hot, it makes you thirsty. You drink, you get more thirsty because it's dehydrating you. And then all of a sudden you have this excruciating pain, you're passing a kidney stone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in addition, alcohol will actually mobilize kidney stones. I mean, it'll make you have an attack.
that'll make you have an attack. That is so interesting. And kidney stones are more prevalent in the summer months because people don't hydrate well enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's another thing.
Other foods that are high in oxalate, I'm seeing here, beets, chocolate.
Yes.
Spinach, tea. Mm-hmm. Tea, you know, is high in oxalates. Absolutely. Most nuts also are rich in oxalates. Colas are rich in phosphate, which can contribute to kidney stones. So that's another thing that young people tend to know a lot of diet soda, you know, diet Coke.
Right, diet soda or Big Gulp or anything like that. The phosphorus you really want to be careful of. And that's another diuretic. If you're having cola, like a Diet Coke or a Coke or Pepsi or something like that, that's more caffeine as well.
So for the chronic urinary tract infections, I think it might be appropriate to dose her with a little bit of D-mannose, which is not going to cause kidney stones, but it has an antibacterial effect.
Mm, mm-hmm.
D-mannose powder.
Yeah, she has cystitis and a severe kidney infection. Wow.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, her whole urinary tract is damaged.
Yeah.
It's sort of a chicken and egg thing. Do the stones cause the predisposition to urinary tract infections, or do the urinary tract infections predispose to stones? It's not clear what came first.
Yeah. The other thing is, she's drinking a lot of water and has become a vegetarian. We just talked about all the oxalates in produce, so not a good idea to become a vegetarian. And drinking lots of water, you can drink lemon water.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take some magnesium citrate. I know doctors often will even prescribe calcium citrate. You want the citrate and the citric acid in lemon to keep the...
Also, B6 has actually some anti-stone forming effects. We would want to analyze the types of stones that she makes.
Yeah.
If she went to Johns Hopkins, you know, that's a place that, does a pretty sophisticated workup. So any corner doctor can put somebody on Bactrim. But what they should be doing is they should be analyzing the type of stones that she makes, either by recovering a stone or by doing a 24-hour urine collection to see what she's – is she lacking magnesium? Is she low in citrate? Is she high in oxalate? What's the nature of the stones?
The other thing is, you know, the addition of the antibiotic Bactrim is wiping out exactly that beneficial probiotic bacteria that can help her metabolize.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
The oxalate in the food.
Yeah.
So, and I hate to see anybody on an antibiotic for any length of time.
Like it's sad. We do see a lot of young kids who get really in trouble in a variety of ways when they're off on their own, they're going to college, and to put it mildly, the lifestyle is not conducive to good health.
They used to call it the freshman 7, gaining 7 pounds in freshman year, but it's become the freshman 15. lately, because of all the, you know, the pizza and french fry university diet.
Yep.
that kind of thing. Yeah. Wow. Oh, so Nora, we wish your granddaughter well. Nora's wondering.
And the dilemma for grandparents is it's sometimes really hard to translate these recommendations into action because, we're two couple of generations removed. Even if the parents are not skeptical, and often they are, the parents can sometimes scoff at the recommendations of grandparents. Fortunately in our family, that is not the case. The kids who are grown kids, they may be defiant, and you tell them to do one thing, they might literally do the other. So there has to be a certain amount of buy-in. And sometimes, it requires a health crisis. If you're sick enough, you're willing to try anything.
That's true. Yeah. Nora, thank you very much for your email. Best of luck to your granddaughter. Wow. Okay.
Layla, good point at which to allow one of our sponsors to share an important message with our listeners. So listen up. Here goes. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now, back to our questions with Layla. What's next?
Oh, we've got an email from Edith. She writes, curious, since so many people are using gourmet salts, Himalayan, Australian flake salts, not iodized salt, which was the norm when I was growing up, is there a noticeable difference for people not taking kelp or some other source of iodine? I, for one, am avoiding fish because of the polluted oceans.
Well, let's stop right there. I mean, I think that's a whole argument in itself. Is the downside of fish worse than the upside of fish? And many studies have actually suggested that if you don't overdo it on albacore tuna, and it's one type of tuna, light chunk tuna is a little lower in mercury.
That's
tuna,
true.
It's true, carries mercury. And if you have salmon, it's preferable to get wild salmon. I paid $29.95 for a wild salmon the other day at the market. I've got an $81 piece of salmon. That's insane. But I didn't want the PCBs in the farm salmon. Mm-hmm. And I wanted the higher content of omega-3s in the wild salmon.
Yeah.
But, it lasted about a meal and a half. We had some leftovers. So the upsides, I think, outweigh the downsides. You know, so safer fish that are rich in omega-3s would be sardines, problematic fish, tilefish, shark, and swordfish.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't after seeing the movie Perfect Storm, I don't know how many people would want to eat those poor swordfish. They're magnificent creatures, and they're being farmed into oblivion.
That's true. That's true. Terrible. And, such a source.
Hunted, rather, not farmed. They're wild fish. They can't be farmed.
Yeah. So anything that's coming from the sea will contain some iodine if it's sea salt, for example.
Or how about seaweed? Seaweed is a really nice snack, like those nori rolls.
Yes.
They make seaweed snacks, and they're rich in iodine. Mm-hmm. So, I don't see a big problem looming. But it's true. Let's point out that some of these really exquisite salts, Himalayan salt, the Himalayas, check it out. Look at a map. They're very far away from the ocean, right?
Yes.
So there's no iodine there. There's very little, if any.
You're getting smaller amounts of iodine from foods like onions, from dairy products, if you're having dairy products, mm-hmm. for example. And
why is iodine important?
Iodine is important for breast health, for thyroid health, for mm-hmm. immunity. Very important.
Yep.
So,
and to be specific, the problem that occurred in previous times in landlocked parts of the world, in particular in Minnesota, was you got freshwater fish.
Yeah.
But there was no seafood in mm-hmm. that area of the country, in the Mesabi mountain range there. They had a high prevalence of goiter. And some landlocked parts of the world, there are lots of goiters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And large thyroid.
Mm-hmm. So,
And that impairs thyroid function. It also can result in, when women with goiters or iodine deficiency get pregnant, it can result in cretinism in the babies. Really, the term cretin, we tend to throw that around like, "Yeah, you're a cretin." I had a blind date last night. Yeah, he was a cretin. It's like literally, it is a medical term which refers to the offspring of a mother who's iodine deficient, and they are low IQ children who are hypothyroid. And they have kind of you could term it a cretinous look. They have kind of blank, stare, and they have enlarged tongues, something called macroglossia due to iodine deficiency. It's rare these days because we all get a little bit of iodine. to real foods.
Yeah. So the lowest mercury fish, I would say to eat it, besides the wild salmon, Dr. Hoffman, that you just mentioned, sardines, and shrimp. Make sure you're getting sustainable shrimp, that it's not coming from
We don't like the Chinese stuff. We don't like a lot of the fish from China. We just don't know what the conditions under which it was raised.
Exactly.
And if they're subject to the tariff, that tariff that they're imposing on China, I have no problem with that. I don't trust that stuff.
Yep, absolutely. So these are the places to get iodine.
Yeah, if you see salmon and it's like, $4.95 a pound, beware, because who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody may have just taken a bulldozer and dug a hole in China and thrown a bunch of antibiotics into it and raised some salmon.
Right.
Who knows
The other thing is, you don't want to order seafood in a restaurant unless they're really like four-star restaurants.
Exactly. I avoid it. They can't afford all the salmon that I have. I never order salmon almost in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Because I know that because the margin is so crucial to their success, they're going to get the cheapest salmon possible.
That's right.
Where I will order salmon is in Seattle, in season, because I know that
Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much cleaner.
In-season fish, and it just comes right out of the water. You can see it at Pike's Market there, and that's wild salmon.
That's wild salmon. Exactly. Yeah. All right. Edith, thank you for your question. All right. We have an email from Alex. Dear Dr. Hoffman, I'm a 25-year-old male suffering from SIBO. I have real problems.
So let's define that. Small intestine bacterial overgrowth.
Yes. And he's tried many things for this, including IB guard. He's tried acid reflux suppressants, which would actually cause SIBO, medical grade probiotics, but nothing seems to work. And the treatment for SIBO is antibiotics, which doesn't treat the illness, but the symptoms and the potential to make my condition worse, which I'm not willing to risk.
No, we've had some people in our practice take Xifaxan with success.
Yes.
Doesn't
yes.
always work. It's an expensive medication. It's designed to treat bacterial overgrowth. It suppresses bacteria, and it's not absorbed into the bloodstream, so it doesn't cause many side effects as other antibiotics. But, usually I start with the botanicals, products we like, Candibactin AR and BR, which are available on FullScript. You can go to D.R. Hoffman's store, sign up for FullScript, and then if you put in a search for Candibactin AR and BR, we like that combination. Usually we use one of each twice daily and then see if we can up it to two of each twice daily for a month.
Yeah.
We like super potent garlic extracts. The aged garlic extract is not as effective as the allicin. We like aged garlic extract for a lot of things, but for SIBO, we like the allicin-rich types of garlic. One is called Alimax. I don't know if that's still available on FullScript. And also, when we do our analysis of SIBO, we look for both the methane variant and the hydrogen variant, and that sometimes guides our therapy.
Yes. I think we also use biocidin from time to time where it's appropriate. As well. That could also be very effective.
Biocidin. That's a purple tincture, which is mostly gentian, but other things in it that is pretty much bactericidal as opposed to an antibiotic. Let me ask you this question as a nutritionist. What degree of success are you going to have if you want to treat SIBO with supplements or medication without a fundamental diet change? That's a high-hanging curveball that I'm throwing you. So hit it out of the park, please.
It's not going to do what you want it to do. The medication is not going to be as effective. Your supplements are not going to be as effective unless you're on a SIBO diet. We start that often with a low FODMAP diet, but for really intractable SIBO, like what Alex here is describing, I would recommend specific carbohydrate diet.
Mm-hmm. Which is no grains, right?
No grains at all.
No legumes.
No potatoes. Those are all out to really take care of the SIBO.
Mm-hmm. How about even a trial of an elemental diet for a while?
That might be helpful.
Yeah.
That might be helpful.
For a few days.
Alex is actually looking for a doctor to do a fecal transplant.
Nah, don't go there because that's an extreme measure that's unnecessary. I think sometimes people get a little obsessed with this, with gastrointestinal problems. And I know it's really bothersome, but it at this point, fecal transplants are should be reserved for the most serious cases of, you know, C. difficile, pseudomembranous colitis. That's where it works. There actually was a death recently of someone who actually got the stool from a bank, you know, from a stool bank. And they died of an E. coli infection. So, and in fact, the government is now taking more steps to restrict access to fecal transplants. And I would really counsel people against a DIY, do-it-yourself approach on that.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what you're getting. You know, it's sort of like, you know, it's taken years to figure out how to properly administer blood transfusions. When they first started with blood transfusions, it was like, yeah, this patient's bleeding. Let's give them some blood. And sometimes it would save their life, and sometimes it would kill them. And then they figured out that they were blood types. Well, they're only... a few variants in blood types. There are literally thousands and hundreds of thousands of variants of stool flora that we have to understand better before we willy-nilly start doing these transplants. And maybe that we will advance the technology to the point that we will have certain types of stool that will address certain problems, like ulcerative colitis, or as we mentioned earlier, kidney stone formers, you know, some will be. There's even, there's a company, not a company, it's actually a university group in Leuven, Belgium, which is where I've visited several times recently because we have family over there. They're really pioneers in microbiome research in Belgium for one reason or another. It just happened to be. And they have come up with the concept that there's a bacteria called Akkermansia, which you may have heard of. It's a bacteria that may alter the metabolism and may be heart protective and may be something that reduces insulin resistance. And so they're probably a ways off of commercializing this, but that's the direction that this should be taking, is very carefully designed studies, cautiously moving ahead, not just willy-nilly giving people fecal transplants.
Wow. Agree. Wow. Alex, we hope you feel better soon. All right.
And of course, great potential in ulcerative colitis and possibly Crohn's disease. But since those people have pretty altered intestinal physiology and maybe altered immunity, these treatments can sometimes backfire. And we do have a patient. I do recall one patient, and I counseled her against it, and she went ahead and did it anyway. And she said she was worse after her fecal transplant.
Oh, boy. And we've also found that for some inflammatory bowel disease that they get some relief, but you need to do a repeat after 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. For the ones who were able to take it and have some degree of success. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting various outcomes from something like that.
Well, Lily, guess what? We're running out of time. Our biological clocks are expiring. They've been ticking, and now the alarm's going off. So, so let's sign off for this week and acknowledge our sponsors, and also mention that drhoffmanstore.com has great stuff. Some of the things we talk about in this program, you can find over there, plus protocols for specific problems. So check it out. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy your summer holidays. Some of you who are having a vacation, I think everybody's, throughout the next few weeks, people will be staggering vacations. So some of you will be working, some of you will be off. Enjoy the time that you have, make constructive use of it, and do something healthy on your own behalf.
Mm. Agree. Yes. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212
772-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.